thank you all for being here. I want to call to order the LAFCO East County Fire Protection Committee and Stakeholder Committee joint meeting to order. Well, let's go around and do some introductions. Joe, start with you.
Joe McKenzie, this irrigation district director, regular LAFCO member.
Hey, good morning. I'm Tony Meacham. I'm the San Diego County Fire Chief.
Good morning. Herman Reddick, County Fire.
Andy Berlin, public member, LAFCO, and certifiedly unemployed.
Robert Hewitt, Lakeside Fire Administrative Services Manager.
Jim Bingham with Lakeside Fire Protection District.
Don Butts, Fire Chief.
Bob Robeson, Lakeside Fire District Board.
Richard Smith, Fire Chief, City of Santee.
Colin Scholl, Fire Chief, Department of Fire.
Joe Serrano, LAFCO.
John Traylor, LAFCO.
Rich Miller, Metro Plan Consultant to LAFCO.
Bruce McKenna, San Miguel Fire Board.
Chris Brainerd, Fire Chief, San Miguel.
Jim X, San Miguel Fire Board.
Sam Ramlucky, LAFCO.
Erica Blum, LAFCO.
Mike Collinsuno, General Counsel to LAFCO.
And Mike Ott, soon to be unemployed.
But you'll still be employable after that.
Well, something like that. I think some of you have probably heard, or at least heard the reference today about my leaving. I'll be retiring on August 31st. That'll be my last day here with LAFCO. And we're involved in a statewide recruitment right now, which I'm assisting with. But it's been a pleasure working with all of you, and I know that we still have some work to complete, but I did want to let you know formally from me, for myself, that is my current status.
Thank you, Mike, and I think we're all hoping that we'll get our work completed before you leave, so we have an end of August deadline. With that, are there any other opening remarks anyone would like to make? Not? We'll move right into approval of the discussion summary of the April 3rd meeting. Any changes or corrections?
Move to approve.
Motion to approve is written. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Executive officers recommended agenda revisions. Mike?
No revisions this morning, Madam Chair.
Well, let's get right into item number four then, the Comprehensive Independent Financial Report, Part 2. Joe.
Good morning, everyone. It's finally here, Part 2 of the financial analysis. This report was originally scheduled for committee consideration back in April, but it was postponed until today's date to allow the two fire agencies more time to review and provide comments. That time extension has proven to be beneficial since the agencies provided further insight that made LAFCO's projections more accurate. But before we begin reviewing our findings, I did want to remind the committee the purpose of this report. The CSA 115 reorganization has been a two-year project, and it has a number of moving components. We now have a joint application that, if approved, will dissolve a CSA. We have the construction of a new fire station in the works. Currently, there's discussions of a possible relocation from Pepper Drive to Bradley Avenue, or also a joint facility is still being discussed. San Miguel will be transitioning their fire services responsibilities in-house next month. And there's also been a four-way contract with the county and the four neighboring agencies providing services within CSA for the past 6 months now. So all these variables not only affect the CSA 115 area, but the East County region. So it's imperative that LAFCO staff conduct a thorough evaluation to ensure that our commission has all the available information to have a conscious decision this summer when they receive the finalized proposal. And that is why the three technical reports were developed, including this one. So with that being said, we will be reviewing the third and final report that's focusing on the projected financial health of both agencies. Today, I'd like to cover three areas. We'll go over the assumptions used. We will discuss the LAFCO findings, And then finally, we'll go over the next steps. At that point, I'll open up the floor for questions. So we'll begin with the assumptions. There are several benefits in financial forecasting, one being that it provides a projected snapshot of an agency, which allows them to make adjustments on potential issues, and also allows them to determine if they reach any certain expectations. But in order to do that, certain assumptions need to be made. And for this report, four assumptions were used. The first one involves staffing. We assumed that the number of employees would not change. That's because we wanted to prevent speculation of hiring or downsizing for either agency, which can occur at any point in time. The next assumption involved rate of change. We needed some type of methodology to increase or decrease costs for the next 10 years. So we use a two-step approach. One, historical data. That gives us a fluctuation of an agency at a given point. So we use their two-year and six-year average. We also wanted a third projection, so we use the latest inflation rate. So two of those rate of changes were used from the audits, so we use exact data from the agency's audits, and the third one was objective, just using the latest inflation rate, which in this case was 2%. The third assumption involves CSA 115. While the two fire districts have agreed on a split annexation approach, this is still ongoing. The commission has not considered this proposal yet, so it's still premature to use any projected dollar amounts for either agency. So that was excluded. And lastly, the joint use facility. That is still, to my understanding, in discussions. Again, it's still premature to use any dollar amounts, any savings or costs associated to a joint use facility. Thus, that was excluded from our projections. With these assumptions in place, we were able to do a 10-year projections. We developed two sets for San Miguel because they are transitioning from a contract with CAL FIRE to full responsibilities of fire services. So we did two different projections. So we'll look at their projections under the existing conditions, assuming that they had a contract with CAL FIRE from fiscal year 2017-18. To fiscal year 26-27. Right here you have a snapshot of our findings. I won't go into detail on the numbers that you see here, but I do want to focus on the last two lines you see on the screen. Based on the two-year average of San Miguel, which in their total revenue would increase 3% each year and their expenses by 2%, if you look at the difference, their net balance, you see a positive balance throughout the 10-year projections. So that allows them to have a positive reserves through the next 10 years. I do want to point out the slight downward trend from fiscal year 17-18, year one, which is 3.2, to year 10, which is 154,000. Even though we increased all the expenditures by 2%, we also increased the CAL FIRE contract by 5%. And that's information we were provided by San Miguel and CAL FIRE. So you do see, even though they have a positive balance throughout the 10 years, there is a downward trend. But nonetheless, under this scenario, they're financially sound. Again, under the existing conditions, the six-year average, their total revenue was decreased by 1% and their expenses decreased by 2%. Again, if you look at the last two lines, their net income began to reach a negative balance by year three. At that point, the district would need to utilize funds, their reserve funds, to subsidize that difference. However, the costs are significant that by year seven or by year six, reserve funds would reach a negative. So under this scenario, the six-year average, the district would be financially distressed. The last projections under the existing conditions, this is a 2% inflation rate. You look at the 10-year average or the 10-year projections, the district start using their reserves to subsidize expenses in year five, But throughout the 10-year projections, they'll have a positive reserve. So under this scenario, even though they start using reserves to subsidize their expenses, they are financially sound. So that was the projections based on existing conditions. Now we know that San Miguel will be transitioning fire service responsibilities on July 13th. So we did projections under that scenario. So if you look at 2-year average, again, revenues are increased by 3%, expenses by 2%, and you look at the last two lines, they are financially sound during the 10-year projections. Positive net balance, positive reserves. Under the 6-year average scenario, as they reestablish their fire responsibilities, again, they're financially sound. They have a positive net balance through the 10-year projections, as well as positive reserves. Lastly, the 2% inflation rate scenario, again, positive balance in the net balance and their reserves. I do want to point out that while their projections under the reestablishment, the standalone scenario, our original projections were quite different. LAFCO staff used fiscal year 10-11 of San Miguel's audits to determine their standalone projections. We used over 650 budgetary costs. And our findings were actually in the negative when it came to the 10-year projections. However, we did meet with the San Miguel representatives on March 21st, and they provided us information on those projections, and they indicated that some of the budget line items were duplicates, one-time costs, services or equipment that will no longer be used after their transition, or an anomaly to the budget back in 10-11. So because of that, those discussions, approximately 235 budget line items were removed, totaling $4.3 million, which provides us these revised projections. And here's just a breakdown of those revisions. $1.2 million was reduced from salaries and benefits. 1.9 million was reduced in maintenance and operations. 21,000 was actually increased in capital outlay, and 1.2 million was reduced in reserves. I just wanted to point that out for the committee in case we come back and have a discussion on the projections for San Miguel. But I do want to just shift gears and talk about Lakeside's projections.
Before you go on, could I just ask one question?
Yes.
On the San Miguel, the scenarios that you did, are the assumptions that that's existing staffing level, existing service level, or increases or decreases?
Right, so for the standalone scenario, we assume that the staffing would be 84 employees, which is similar to what they had back in 2010, 2011 as a standalone agency, and it's similar to the number of employees that they're expecting when they transition back the services.
So you did look at service levels?
Correct.
So it would be constant, the same,
an
increase or a decrease?
It would be the same level of service.
Okay, thank you.
Now for Lakeside, the same rate of change calculations were used, a 2-year average, a 6-year, and a 2% inflation. So based on the 2-year average, their total revenue was increased slightly by 0.45%, and expenses were increased by 1.46%. If you can see in the difference, the net balance, by year 5, the district is projected to start using reserves to subsidize their costs, but during the 10-year projections, they would be financially sound. Their reserves are still positive. I do want to indicate that there is a slight decrease or a downward trend in the reserve balance, but again, based on the 10-year projections, they're financially sound, and I'll talk about their revenues in a bit. Based on their 6-year average, again, their total revenues were slightly increased by 0.20%, and expenses increased by 1.55%. Based on these projections, by year four, the district is projected to start using reserves to subsidize their, by year three, subsidize their costs. But again, their reserves are in the positive. One thing I did want to point out is that their reserves are historically stagnant throughout. That's why you see a slight increase. So it really depends on their expenditures. Any fluctuation on their expenditures really affects their projections. Nonetheless, they have a healthy reserve balance during our projections. And lastly, the 2% inflation rate, total revenue is increased by 2% as well as total expenses. Under this scenario, their net balance is positive as well as their reserve balance. So this just shows you that they have revenues that exceed expenditures. It really depends on how their expenditures fluctuate that may affect their projections. In conclusion, both agencies are projected to be financially sound with the notion that there's a couple of areas that should be monitored and or addressed. And in this case, both agencies should reassess all the budgetary costs. But I do want to point out that these are merely projections. It's subject to change. Any variables or any new information can definitely affect the projections. But this can be used as a resource. Once a district can include internal control, also long-term planning, any financial strategies, that would ensure that both agencies will be financially prepared for the future. But again, these are just projections that are going to be used as part of LAFCO's thorough evaluation of the reorganization. So the next question is, what's next? Well, today we'd like to get some comments from the committee. Once we get your feedback, we will be finalizing those technical reports, compile a comprehensive report that will be presented to our commission in July. That concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
I'd like to ask the same question I asked on San Miguel on Lakeside in terms of service level and staffing.
We wanted to ensure that there was the same number of staffing, again, the same level of service throughout the 10-year projections.
So no increase.
No increase and no decrease, correct.
And then can you account for the revenue increases for both of the districts?
How so?
Well, what causes the increase?
Where does it come from?
Oh, that the majority of both districts' revenues are their property taxes and their assessment fees. That's the majority of their revenue stream.
Okay. With that, I'll open it up. Oh, come on.
Joe, I have one question for you. For the escalators that were used on the projections, did those account for full cost of employees, labor cost, benefits, all of those things? It seems 2% or the 1.45 is a very low figure when we look at the significantly escalating cost of workers' comp, healthcare benefits, and salary increases.
That's a great question. We wanted that alone would be a report on looking at the salaries and benefits and those type of projections. So we were kind of high level when it came to the salaries and expenditures. We kind of wanted to keep that stable. So we used historical information to increase the 2%, the 1.245 that you mentioned. If we have additional information regarding the salaries and benefits and those numbers, we can definitely have a more accurate representation of that, but we were high level when it came to those projections.
One suggestion that you make is to go back at a retrospective look on probably a 5-year period of what CalPERS, what staff benefits for healthcare, and what workers' compensation has gone up, because certainly the in the CAL FIRE projections, we used a 5% escalator, trying to look ahead that nobody's costs for healthcare and retirement are gonna go down. It just seems that 2% or 1.45 is very low when we're talking about the next 5 years of where we're going with healthcare and retirement.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Herman and I were having a little discussion before we started our meeting about how things proceeded years ago. We were not sitting around the table like this, we were in our own little groups kind of throwing rocks from behind cover.
Beating up the county.
And beating up, of course, the county was beating us up too, so we were dead. It had a little war going on there, but it is great to see us sitting here and having a civil discussion, if you will. With that, Joe, a great report. I can't say that I devoured it all. I looked at it, but I was going, well, I'm overwhelmed by all the numbers. Certainly there are questions to be asked, but back to the basics, and maybe you don't even want to comment on this, I don't know, but what do you believe is the actual driver of this whole proposal? Is it follow the money, the cash flow? Is it the Cal Fire contract that may not be desirable by some? Is it labor-driven? Is it something that is for the good of the public? Are we going to get a better level of service here? The other agencies that provide service under the current agreement that get paid for providing the service, how does that fit with them? There'll be some that'll be disenfranchised. So maybe boil it down to a simple question is, what's your take on the validity of this proposal?
Joe, that's a real easy question for you.
I would think so.
Maybe Mike wants to answer it since he's leaving.
I can defer to
him. Remember, if you want to pass that way.
Whatever you want to do.
No, as LAFCO staff, we have a due diligence. We received two applications, and since it's so complex, we wanted to have everyone at the table to answer the question of who should... who is the most logical service provider for CSA 115? And again, we have multiple moving components going on. We have a contract in place with the county to provide services. That is only about 6 months in play right now. We could review that. But again, to answer your question, we are doing what we're responsible to do, which is review these two applications as one. And to determine who's the most logical service provider. And now I'm going to punt it to Mr. Mike, who can elaborate on that.
Maybe I should respond on September 1st to that. The motivations for this, I think, from the very beginning, were somewhat confusing. We had, in terms of staff, a number of meetings with the predecessors to Mr. Brainerd and Chief Butts from both districts, and there seemed to be candidly a high degree of competition between the two districts, which was of concern to us in that these two districts that operate in essentially the same geography with respect to CSA 115 were both interested in the same territory and were providing reasons in their mind why in each of their cases they should be considered the preferable district to be the successor. And that isn't typically the process we go through here. Usually there's a high degree of cooperation between fire districts, between municipal fire departments, and there's a consensus on how to serve territory. That did not exist here. And it seemed to be a case early on, and I can't speak for how it is turning out to be today, where competition and to some degree conflict was driving the discussion, that one district was trying to show the other district that they were the better service provider, and that may have had some effect on the location of the now potentially defunct site on Pepper Drive in San Miguel. That was of major concern to us, and it resulted in the creation of this group that is meeting here today, because we couldn't reconcile this as staff. There was not a clear choice in our mind that one district was the preferred service provider over the other. So we embarked on looking at finances and services. We still have lots of questions buried within all of the data that Joe has provided. I think there are certain flags that came up with respect to each of the districts. In the case of San Miguel, despite the revision to all the numbers that we made, there was a substantial reduction in San Miguel's estimated costs of becoming a standalone. I think time will tell whether those numbers bear out in terms of accuracy or realism. Lakeside, Joe has indicated in the charts that although they meet the definition of being financially sound, and there's some debate as far as how you define that, Lakeside is going to be using reserves in the future, according to some of our projections, to balance the budget. So it still isn't clear in our minds today. But the motivations have been rather muddied, and I'm not certain that it is any clearer today than it was a year ago when we started on this path. And I think that when and if we go to hearing on July 10th, we'll have better resolution on how to deal with that with respect to the reorganization. And we alluded to some of those flags or issue areas in the report in terms of options available to LAFCO, but it's certainly not clear-cut. It wouldn't be clear-cut if it was, we wouldn't be meeting today.
Madam Chair, if I may, thank you, Mike, and Joe, appreciate your response. I guess for me, and perhaps for the commissioners that are represented here and for the commission in general, my thought would be if we had an etch-a-sketch here and we were able to just pull the top off and go, okay, if we were starting from scratch, how would we provide the service here? Trying to set aside whatever motivation there is for either district, and I'm not making any judgment on that at all. But from a public perspective, what fits best? And I don't know that we've recognized the financial impact on agencies that are currently getting funding from providing service, what it does for them. Certainly we have great cooperation now. We probably have one of the best automatic response agreements anywhere, including paramedics, and so, and a highly cooperative fire service throughout the entire county. So for me, it just is, okay, let's step back, let's take a look at it. The finances certainly provide us a picture, but as you indicated, that picture could change. And we would have to, I guess, go through audits all the way around to determine the accuracy of the foundation of the finances today, what they would look like in the future. So just a thought from me. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Chief?
Thank you very much. I've got a handout that I'd like to provide and just briefly discuss three points.
Did everyone receive that?
Yep.
Here it comes.
Does everybody have a copy of that? We do have one extra.
Sure.
Oh, good.
Down there? Yeah. Okay. Just careful, sure.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak about this issue. First, I'd like to start with saying that Chief Butts and I have met. We've been empowered by our boards to meet and to work on this issue. I believe that we've got a great working relationship. We've come to many agreements between us at chief level, and we're first and foremost focused on service. So whether CSA was part of this process, CSA 115 was part of this process or not, San Miguel would need to do something with its current Fire Station 19 location because of its age and condition and also its location within the Bostonia area to provide service. If you take a look at a piece of paper, our station is basically located in the bottom right-hand corner, and that needs to change to provide a better level of service. So our level of service, we think, is going to improve regardless of what happens with CSA 115, because we need to move up more in the central part of our district and replace the station to a 50-year type permanent station. If you can look at the letter that I wrote to Mr. Ott and Mr. Serrano, three points. Point number one, San Miguel did a very extensive 10-year deep dive into our finances, covering some 6,500 points in the budget, and we just wanted to bring that out, that we did all that in advance of writing the micro study to make sure that we knew what we should include and what we should not include to come up with the bottom line. Point number two, it's referenced from the most recent Part 2 report on page 4, and you can read it there. Basically, the $1.7 million that was projected to be returned under an existing scenario, we believe is actually zero. The numbers that were used in the report were projections and a forecast rather than the actuals. And I've got our chief financial officer, Ms. Odell, if you can come up so you can address how we came to those numbers, please. Sorry.
You're in trouble.
I know.
Good morning.
Good morning. Geraldine Odell. I am the administrative officer, CFO, retired. So welcome to my world, Charlie. What we did is when Joe created the projections for these, he used the 2011-12 audit. From what we can tell, the audit for 11-12 was actually a half year for the Cal Fire contract. So we believe that that number was $6 million shorter than it necessarily should have been. So his projections worked well, but we do know that for 17-18, the Cal Fire contract is $13.3 million. He was using a number that was, I don't have it with me, but just over $12 million. So there's $1 million short there. And then we know that the CalPERS side fund payment is almost $1.8 million. So if you add those two numbers alone together, you're at just over $15 million. He's projecting a 12.1 for 17-18. So we believe that line by itself is inaccurate.
Okay. So Joe, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, this is still a draft report, and any corrections, and this is one of the reasons why we wanted to have this discussion. If there's any discrepancies on my projections or our projections, we could definitely address them.
Right answer.
Yep.
Okay.
And after speaking with John and Joe previously to this meeting a week ago, with all that was going on, we felt that it was best to just provide this information, make it part of the record, and then we can go to work afterwards to see exactly how it all shakes out. And we did meet previous to this meeting to make sure that the last thing we wanted to do was do anything that looked like a blindside. So we did reach out 7 days ago with the information that we had mined out to make sure that we brought it forward in an appropriate manner.
Thank you.
Point number three is simply that we also believe that the projections that Joe used did not include the most recent ratified pay package that Cal Fire is going to provide to all of their employees. So certainly approximately 23%, the way that we calculate it, that's going to be provided to the employees over the next several years is not reflected in the actual cost, which would further impact maybe a retroactive payment that the district might have to pay back to January, as well as on the go forward. There's a lot of money that's going to be paid out in additional salaries, and we believe that those are not currently reflected because they weren't available when you put this report together. So it's just a matter of us getting the most current information so that that final report, July 10th, can accurately reflect these reports.
Okay.
And that concludes my remarks.
Thank you. So if Cal Fire has any response to this, the Cal Fire will have an opportunity to provide the information, or with your Cal Fire hat. Tony, do you have any comments, Sam?
Yeah, we'll certainly provide some response. But I think one of the things that's concerning is Sam McGill, their elected body, has already made the decision to leave CAL FIRE. That is going into effect on July 13th. So my comments earlier, I want to be very clear on, have nothing to do. I mean, we need to almost take the CAL FIRE issue completely off of the table, and I think look at the long-term projections of Sam McGill and Lakeside in relation to the subject at hand, and that is the CSA 115 issue, because I'll go back to my earlier comment. The Cal Fire cost is, there is many factors in that. It was already included in the escalator, but we can't account one set of data for an estimator with increased salary and not account for it on the other. So my recommendation is really the whole Cal Fire piece needs to come out, because that decision has already been made, and we respect that decision. And Chief Brainerd and I have a fantastic relationship, and we're trying to exit out and ensure that we're providing service to the public. This is very complicated. If you follow this year's governor specifically with the state early funding, there is a very high probability that Cal Fire staff benefit rate is going to drop next year due to the $1.6 billion payment to the retiree fund. So I think that the healthcare and retirement and salary piece of this is so volatile that we're really mixing apples and oranges here, because that decision about Cal Fire has already been made. So I want to just close with my comments earlier about the salary. Is we either include it in the report for everybody, or we take it out for everybody and just say it's too hard to look into the future where we're going to be at with employee costs.
Okay. Any other comments? Lakeside? Don?
Yeah. I do want to echo that it's been a good working relationship with Chief Brainerd and myself, getting through some of the stuff that seemed to have gotten hung up in the past. And with that, I also have a letter that I'd like to pass around. Just a response, and this is a very high-level approach, and I did speak with Mike last Thursday, so right there, just again, to give full disclosure, we didn't want to surprise staff because we feel we're working together, collaborative with LAFCO, and trying to find the solution, provide the information to make a good informed decision. With that said, the district, and in discussion with the board, has 3 points that they'd like considered or they'd like to submit formally. The first one is the removal of the term comprehensive from the title. The premise of the report uses historical data, and it's basically, we don't think it's as dimensional as it should be to be called comprehensive. It lacks a economic forecast that could be provided other than just inflators and deflators and cost. Comprehensive to us is a lot more comprehensive than what we have here. Item two is the term forecast. Suggest including that in the title. If you read it the way it sort of reads as a report card, and even though the term in there, it talks about projections and forecasts, but if it is a forecast, we should have that in the title, and suggest something along the lines of an independent financial forecast report, because that's truly what we're trying to accomplish is a forecast, and just disclose that in there. The last item is remove the impression of a comparison between the two agencies, because this is a joint application. And in reading this, my first run at it, it looked like it was a comparison. So either bifurcate the reports, create a part two A and B, you know, San Miguel and Lakeside, or include, at least include some very strong language up front that this is a joint application and that this is not a comparison, but an analysis, a forecasting of the district, each district's ability to be financially stable in these projected forecasts. It doesn't jump out at me. And I've actually turned the report over to somebody who's not familiar with it, and they almost read it as a comparison report, a report card comparing one district to the other. And I don't think that was the intent of San Miguel, and I know that was not our intent by moving these applications jointly. We feel that that sort of puts us back in that state of conflict that you talked about earlier, Mike, and we're not there. We don't want to be there. We want to move forward and find the proper solution for the constituents, not only in our area, but the CSA 115. So with that, this is submitted for your consideration, and we hope that you look at that seriously and give that consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Joe, Mike, any comments?
Well, I think those were all very constructive comments that we were hoping to get. I think starting with Chief Butz's comments first, I think really all of those comments are quite germane and perhaps appropriate. It's good to have another set of eyes to look at this in terms of how the report may be taken or inferred in certain areas. I don't have a problem with that. The comparison between the two agencies, it certainly wasn't our intent to compare or to have the two agencies compete with one another in our presentation. I think perhaps a beefier introduction and perhaps refining certain areas of the report to make that clear would probably resolve that. But I take those suggestions to heart and think that they're appropriate. With San Miguel and their comments, a little more extensive, I think that we do need to be reminded that this was just a forecast trying to satisfy one of the LAFCO conditions in any reorganization and long-range study, and that's to make a determination whether the agencies have the financial wherewithal, the ability to provide the services in question. The last thing that we would want to have happen is to have territory, a significant amount of territory, be added to either of the districts, and then for the districts to experience financial problems and for the service level to decline, which is something that Supervisor Jacob alluded to. So we put this through multiple tests, and some of them may be relevant, some of them may not be as relevant, but we tried to look at it from every possible angle to determine if these agencies will have the financial ability to continue providing services, at least at the current level. And I think with most of our forecasts, that conclusion could be made. There were some warning signs with each of the districts that I pointed out about use of reserves or the degree to which the reductions are proposed in San Miguel to become a standalone. Will have a degree of accuracy or realism in the future. I think those are all things that we need to, as staff, analyze and consider further in going forward. But I think we're a long ways further in terms of making that conclusion about the financial ability of each of the agencies to extend services. There still are other parameters that we need to look at. The moving target of the Bradley station. I appreciate an update from San Miguel on that in terms of what progress or decisions are being made with respect to closing down the Pepper Drive site or where that is at in relation to Bradley to help us with some of the other factors that we need to look at outside of finances. So maybe this would be an appropriate time. I've heard from Teresa in different communications about the status of relocating from Pepper Drive, the site that was condemned, and you were in the process of building a station there and opening up discussions elsewhere. Where are things at with Bradley?
Currently, the board directed that we stop any further movement at First and Pepper. We actually have site approval, so that is kind of held in abeyance until over the next 2 years where we decide exactly what needs to be done. We're taking a very serious look at the Bradley corridor, approximately 700 East Bradley. There's some property up there that we're looking at. I've got a real estate company that's involved in trying to see what options we might have in that area. From moving directly from our current site on Clarendon up to Bradley with a permanent station, or moving to a temporary, moving up to the Bradley area with a temporary station while we purchase and buy a new piece of property, all of that has to be taken back to the board. But the board wants to, before we move forward with First and Pepper, make sure that there isn't a better option out there, and that's what I've been charged to do. So hopefully by the July 10th meeting, I might have some more concrete information, and I really can't comment further than that because I need to first take it to my own board with any type of progress and look for approval.
Understood. Thank you.
Joe, do you have any other comments in response to the two letters that have been passed out?
Other than I like to think if both sides are upset with me, then I think I may be doing something right. But I will look into both letters and, again, continue working with both agencies to ensure that what we present on July 10th is accurate. We may disagree on certain assumptions, but if we can agree on factual information, that's what's more important to me.
Okay.
I actually have a brief comment, if you
please.
Don't mind. Joe, do you mind bringing up Lakeside's chart? I just wanted to point something out to the commission since it was brought up. If you don't mind, what Joe said was you're looking at projected financial health. Well, it's also important what our current financial health is, and so you want to look at the reserves. If you don't mind looking at Lakeside, so Lakeside has a policy that says that we won't go under 50% of reserves. The board, at a minimum, will keep a 50% reserve of operating revenue. And the best practice is you want to keep 20%. And if you look at our reserves, you can see that we're fairly healthy. And this is a two-year average. And this is at a 0.45 revenue, estimating an increase of 0.45, which is very, very conservative.
Correct.
But in this case, if we're ever to get below, see, we don't even get below to the 50% until the 10-year. If you go ahead and go to the 6-year average projection, here you can see this is going to be a bad scenario. We're only getting 0.2% revenue every year. this is bad news. You know, obviously we're going to have 1.55, at least 1.55 increase, probably with just inflationary. So this could happen, but with Lakeside's policy, what will happen is once we hit a reserve balance of 50% of our revenue, then we'll go into a cost-cutting measure scenario where we will start cutting costs. So we have those built in. So that's maybe the difference between a comprehensive financial forecast and a limited financial forecast, where you're just looking at specific limited scenarios or assumptions. And then the last one, of course, you know, you've got revenue, or sorry, you're at the end here, our reserves are at 17 more than our revenue. So this scenario probably isn't going to happen either. We're probably going to either fully fund or start funding some of our unfunded liabilities, or we're going to increase our surplus levels to bring those reserves down to more of a reasonable amount. So just to kind of give you an idea, when you're looking at financial health, it's not just the change in revenue or the change in fund balances, but where you start with and what are your it gives you a lot more flexibility if you have a higher reserve to start with. So that's all. I just want to point that out.
No, I think that's very important. And I think the changes, deleting comprehensive and putting in here forecast, because it's an independent financial report that LAFCO is providing, but it is a forecast, and those are variables. I hope when we end up with this, we all keep these documents, and then we can go back and refer to those. Any other comments?
Right. Just one final comment for Joe. You said to involve both the agencies, so I'd just like to go back. I will recuse myself because I'm representing the county, but should the CAL FIRE piece continue to be discussed, I would like to have somebody from our business services sit on that because, for example, this is the first time I've seen this document, and we certainly would welcome an opportunity to provide, for the record, our comments. I think that's an important determination. Will we continue with a three-party analysis or just a two-party analysis? Thank you.
Okay. Just for the record, any other comments?
Madam Mark? Chair. I think Tony's comments about the CAL FIRE component are well taken. However, we have to remember there are other commissioners besides the four of you that sit on this particular committee, and they may have questions or want some comparative data about CAL FIRE in relationship to the move to go standalone. So while it's not going to be perhaps an emphasis of the final report, I think we should receive or work with CAL FIRE to get whatever comments that they have to better portray the CAL FIRE component. And I think we need to probably emphasize in the written part of our report that particular scenario is purely for forecast purposes based upon, I think, the July 13th effective date of going to a standalone. The CAL FIRE component will not have any relevance in the future except for comparison purposes. But I think we still need to have that for baseline purposes. It's just that I don't want to spend a lot of time, you know, changing our forecasts with exception of footnoting and perhaps adjusting them if there's more accurate data that we can get from CAL FIRE.
Well, I would think, too, Mike, it's important just for the record to make sure that the numbers that we have, whether it's the CAL FIRE numbers in regards to San Miguel or San Miguel current status, current numbers, Lakeside current numbers, and the forecasts, that LAFCO's done the best job they can in providing that information, because once we approve that information, then it's approved, and then we'll see whether it's right or not. The only thing that I want to make sure, and Joe, this is for you, when we talk about cost drivers, you know, the cost drivers are basically personnel, and in those numbers, can you tell us briefly how did you calculate future workman's comp costs? Salary costs, which would be up to the individual board to make those decisions in their negotiations, health care costs, and pension costs. So I would think those have some potential variables that are not completely predictable. So how did you do that?
That's correct. And that's why we looked at those expenditures, and we couldn't really get into the weeds when it comes to that and knowing exactly how to project them. So we kept them similar to all the other budgetary costs. So we used historical fluctuation on those expenses and applied it to our projections, but we didn't go into detail because, again, of the significance of those costs. So we kept them in line with all the other budgetary costs, and that's why we increased them based on the rate of change of the agency as a whole, rather than each individual budgetary line item.
So it was past performance.
That's correct.
Projections.
That is correct.
And of course, past performance is no indication of future performance. So this is, I think, in the end, a best guesstimate.
And that's exactly what it is. We can use that as a resource, but not something that's concrete.
I guess the question then is, should you take a deeper dive? I mean, is it possible for LAFCO to take a deeper dive on those potential cost drivers? I don't know the answer to that. I'm just asking.
Well, since I'm the short timer around here, I'll respond to that again. I think a deeper dive is necessary, but it's going to require a time. And I, for one, had I been here beyond August 31st, would have preferred to have the San Miguel component play out in real life for whether it be a year or 2 years to see both the accuracy or inaccuracy of our forecasts as well as what San Miguel has projected in its macro and micro reports. I'm not totally comfortable with the $4 million some odd dollar reductions that San Miguel has made within the past couple of months in looking at the reports that we produce, the number one and number two financial reports. But I don't think that we here are going to be able to decide that. I think time will tell. And I do have some questions, particularly regarding San Miguel in going back to a standalone. That's a big move, even though San Miguel was previously a standalone fire agency. I think the salary and benefit costs, which are going to be subject to annual negotiation or the multi-year compacts that may occur, increasing health care costs, the assumption of workers' comp, which I believe under the CAL FIRE model, correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, CAL FIRE absorbed all of those predecessor costs from San Miguel statewide. So that'll be a new cost category. If one were to err, I think you'd want to err on over-projecting workers' comp than under-projecting that. That's a big driver in terms of salary costs. So I do have some questions, and I'm not certain that we have everything that we need to give an affirmative vote on a reorganization come July, to be quite candid with that. So that's where I'm coming from, and I think additional time is necessary, whether it be a deeper dive or just a reality check on everybody's numbers.
Yes, Bob.
Yes, I have a question. When I first started getting involved with this, which is the first day I took my office in, as a director in Lakeside, and that was over 2 years ago, one thing I found as being absent in our discussions is sphere of influence. Because the first thing I did is I looked at the sphere of influence maps for Lakeside and San Miguel and El Cajon and Santee. And I figure being in the long-range planning, which we do, strategic planning discussions constantly, and this CSA 69 was obvious, as well as Bostonia, is being the city of El Cajon or Santee someday. That's almost a given, because the cities prevail, as far as I know, in LAFCO's situations. But we haven't talked much about the fact that Lakeside is pretty much contiguous. We don't have any islands anywhere. We've been in our long-range planning, and even the Citygate report, we were planning on contiguously moving as the cities would let us into those county areas. But as soon as the city steps up and starts backing that us off, that's pretty much what happens. But for some reason, we're dealing with two islands, not contiguous with the other agency. And our planning has been to keep moving into that area of CSA, you know, CSA 115 as we grow and their interest showed. Well, I don't know. I'm not hearing it. So maybe in the future discussions that could be discussed, or maybe sphere of influence doesn't make any difference anymore.
Well, it does make a difference, and we've talked about it, although we haven't given the emphasis to it that I think that you were probably looking forward to. I know when we started off this process, Commissioner Vanderlyn brought up the role of the city of El Cajon, in particular with respect to Pepper Drive and how that area is contiguous to El Cajon, but yet was subject to a 30-year agreement between Santee and the county of San Diego for providing service in that area. So we haven't talked about it, but the reality of it is that annexation to the municipalities would probably be terminated in our process, not by LAFCO per se, but by the voters due to the degree of opposition. But in terms of geography, the municipalities, this whole area relates most to Santee and El Cajon. It's just that the will of the people is such that it has necessitated that we bring the fire districts into the discussion. And it's one of the illogical parts of government that we deal with when people want to remain in the unincorporated area and have Supervisor Jacob as their primary elected representative rather than a mayor and council members. Sometimes we have to deal with all of these other ramifications of like what we're talking about today with the fire districts. But over the years, this area has related most to Santee and El Cajon, and in fact, it was reflected as such in the respective spheres of influence. We designated these areas as a special study area a number of years ago because the areas were not annexing to the respective cities due to opposition. So we were looking at the next most feasible alternative, which would be to continue in the unincorporated area with kind of the patchwork of fire districts.
Thank you for your explanation. And I think we're not against sharing anything, San Miguel. I think we're players. And whether they be the island areas up there, no man's land, we're sharing share alike with our neighbors. That's, at least as the president of the board, that's my look at it. And I'm sure the other four would like to talk if they had a chance, but it's just the fact that I believe sharing, and I've watched it grow for many, many years in my career with CAL FIRE, since 60. And since then, we've shared a lot. And a lot of the districts and the cities have shared a lot, been great players with each other, and I've watched the boundaries change for many years. And I think fairness is fair. And whatever you come up with to make both of us say haves in this thing would be, you know, something to take back to the board.
So, thank you, Bob. Appreciate the comments. And we want to continue the high level of cooperation. That's in the best interest of the people that we all serve. So. Chief Smith or Chief Stone?
I don't have any comments, Bob.
Nothing? Anybody else? I had one other question. There is an existing contract that kind of divides it all up. How is that working?
I can comment on that. That's been working fairly well. We have been requesting for the last first half of the year what the costs were, their data. We've received that data. And roughly 43% of the calls have been responded by El Cajon, followed by 35% by Lakeside, and 17% by San Miguel. We will be dividing the money up at the end of the fiscal year and providing all those agencies their portion of the CSA 115 funds.
How about Santee?
Santee is about 4%.
4%. Well, we don't want to leave out Santee. Yeah,
much appreciated.
Okay, well, thank you, Herman. Any other comments or any other question, any other input at this particular point in time? Everybody good? Yeah, all right. Okay, well, again, Joe?
No,
not many
comments.
Nothing? No. Okay. Well, again, thank you all for participating. I know that this has not been easy all the way around, but it is a process, and as long as we continue and make sure we have a very open and transparent process and everybody is aware of what's going on, and I'm confident that we'll come to a good decision at some point in time. Sounds like we do have time. And that may be something the commission will want to consider going into the future as we determine whether or not we're at a decision point. So we meet again July?
July 10th will 10th? Be the meeting of the full commission.
Okay, great. Well, again, thank you all for attending. Thank you for all your work. And most of all, thank you for your cooperation. We're adjourned.